Ephesians 6 says our fight is not against any physical enemy. It's against organizations and powers that are spiritual, and we are to stand firm. Welcome to The Invisible Realm with Troy Albano of Discipleship Duplication, equipping you to be God's warriors for battle against the forces of evil in the spiritual realm. You will learn to exercise authority from the position in Christ and to increase your faith so that you may fight not for victory, but from victory. This spiritual warfare training will give you the ability to stand firm and then to help others stand. Now, here's Troy Albano of Discipleship Duplication.
Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12, and I'm going to be reading out of the J.B. Phillips. For our fight is not against any physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. Therefore, you must wear the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist evil in its day of power. And that even when you have fought to a standstill, you may still stand your ground. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 9, and I'm only going to read to the first part of 9. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. For to this end also I write, that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. But whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes, in the presence of Christ, in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. This is the last verse. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And this verse right here is when Peter was about to deny our Lord three times, okay? And here the Lord's telling him that the enemy has demanded to sift you, but be strong in your faith. When he's strengthened in his faith in the truth, then he'll be able to strengthen his brothers. You see, by way of introduction, I want to talk about today on spiritual warfare. Basically an introduction, because we're going to go over through each spiritual warfare principles that the Lord's taught me, that we've experienced, and he has shown me through the very word of God. We've tested the spirits if this is of the Lord. Because everything we've learned when it came into the invisible realm, we learn by the Holy Spirit teaching us and guiding us, and us coming to the Word of God to confirm it. So we're going to go over the seven principles just as an introductory, and then the following weeks, we're going to go through each of them very specifically, and I'll share each principles today. But by way of introduction, I want to talk about what is going on in the landscape in Christianity when it comes to spiritual warfare. So we see the passages that I've read that our warfare is in the invisible realm, the spiritual realm. So we really have to understand what it is we are really fighting with. If it's in the invisible realm, the realm of the spirit, it is important, therefore, to know how to fight in that realm, in the heavenlies, because that's where the forces of evil are residing. That is the headquarters, and they send out all their demonic forces or their allies right on earth to influence us. So the battle is spiritual. It's in the invisible realm. If we don't know how to fight the battle, well, first of all, if we don't know who we are actually fighting with, we're not going to ever know how to fight the battle. We will lose every single time. So that's why I want to talk about this subject matter. And actually, as we read the passage in John 8, it talks about, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. See, many of us, and I don't know if you know these statistics, when it comes to depression, anxiety, and suicide, studies have shown from the Barna Group, which is a research organization, a Christian research organization, they did a study between 1999 through 2017. And at that time, in the United States, suicide increased by 33%. Now, with this pandemic going on today, I'm sure those numbers are higher. Suicide also ranks as the second leading cause of death of people between the ages of 10 to 35 years of age, and it's the fourth leading cause of death of people between the ages of 35 and 54. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death overall. Now, why do I bring that up? Because we have counseled and fellowshiped and ministered to many individuals when it comes to depression, anxiety, and suicide. And the majority was that we went ministered to directly, it was spiritual. Now, I'm not saying it's all spiritual. You could have a depression because maybe you were hoping to get this job and you were not hired. And of course, you could be depressed. You have to encourage yourself. That's one thing. You could be anxious, wondering what the future is going to be like because it's unknown in many ways, especially if you're an unbeliever. Your hope is in you trying to figure everything out. Like children of the Lord, Jesus Christ, when you spend time in the living Word of God, the Lord gives you answers. He guides you. He comforts you. He gives you peace that surpasses all understanding. And also, when it comes to these areas of depression and anxiety and suicide, when we meet with people, we found another aspect is it's spiritual. There is a root that actually has triggered ones to be depressed, ones to be always anxious, suicidal thoughts. And it's not because of some certain situation or circumstance that has happened recently, but majority of the times, something happened in their past, abuse, trauma. That's why we have to look at this, also consider the spiritual side. Also, many clinicians, when it comes to psychologists and psychiatrists, Dr. Richard Gallagher, he is a board-certified psychiatrist, professor of clinical psychiatry at the New York Medical College, educated at Princeton, trained in psychiatry at Yale, psychoanalysis at Columbia. He goes on to speak about these things when it comes to patients that are actually possessed. Many of his peers would acknowledge that there is another component other than what they have dealt with traditionally in the industry of psychology that is spiritual, but many of them don't know how to deal with it. Dr. Richard Gallagher goes on to talk about this, and he knows it's satanic. So I want to bring this up. It's important for us to understand who it is that we're dealing with, our real battle, and to really understand the invisible realm. Why is that so? Is because from the last couple broadcasts, I shared that the Lord is preparing a warrior bride. And that's in Revelation 19. He's preparing ones that know how to war when it comes to spiritual warfare. Because many times our fight could be against something that has nothing to do with really what's going on in the spiritual world. And why I bring this up, because majority of churches and believers, they do not recognize spiritual warfare. They're afraid to talk about it. They almost live in this denial. There are many, many testimonies of people and people that we've met with that are afraid to bring it up to pastors, to clergy, because they are put aside and they don't acknowledge the reality of the spiritual world. So there's very few teachings about this. Yet in the Word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ dealt with demonic forces all the time, casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Well, there was a survey done amongst believers, and Barna did this survey and said that when they spoke with believers, Christians, most Christians don't believe that Satan is actually a spiritual being, a living entity. They acknowledge Satan as a symbol that represents evil. Now, when you think of Satan that way, you've already lost the battle because you really don't believe that Satan is a living entity. He was a fallen angel. He was one of the most powerful angels that is now the head of what's going on in this invisible world that's affecting this world, influencing this world, because our battle is not against flesh and blood. And those same individuals, those believers that they did research as well, they asked them about the Holy Spirit. 38% of believers, they don't believe that the Holy Spirit, it is God in the person of the Holy Spirit. They look at the Holy Spirit as a symbol of God's power. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a symbol. So if we believers believe this, how is it that we're going to even know how to be a warrior, that warrior bride? How is it that we're going to even be able to fight in a battle that's against spiritual forces in the invisible realm? We're fighting a battle that is not even a battle because we do not acknowledge this. Most Christians live in denial of this because of fear of the unknown. They have not been taught this. They have no experience in this. Because it takes the power of the Holy Spirit for us to walk in this. Now, why is this also important and why I bring this up is because when we talk about the fastest growing religion in America today, take a guess. I'm not saying the largest, I'm talking about the fastest growing. The fastest growing religion today is the pagan religion of witchcraft called Wicca. And why is that so? Is because Satanism, witchcraft, they can really give you something that the world is not able to give you, and that is spiritual power. I'm not talking about godly power. I'm talking demonic powers. And many of the people that we've worked with, whether they were former Satanists, witches, that we've also led to the Lord by the grace of God, they were abused. When they were younger, they were taken advantage of. And many of them turn to witchcraft or Satanism because they know there's real power, because they don't ever want to be taken advantage again. Because they don't see the power in the churches today. And there's a lot of reasons, and I'm not going to share with that right now, but I will go through it when I go through the spiritual warfare principles and specifics. But they don't see that power that they can get from witchcraft and Satanism. They don't sense that power in the churches today. That's why it's really, really important for us to understand the invisible realm. You know, recently there came a book that was published. It was, I think, last year. Interesting, because the enemy is becoming very, very overt. And because of that, the children of God need to be equipped and prepared. And that's why I'm going to be talking about these seven spiritual warfare principles. There was a book called A Children's Book of Demons. And it's by Aaron Layton. And let me just read the description of it. I mean, this is infiltrating all the children now. It's not just books, but it's entertainment, it's video games, it's movies, it's all of that, okay? And the description of the book says this: don't want to take out the trash tonight? Maybe you're swimming in Homer. Perhaps that big bully is being a real drag. Well, grab your colored pencils and sigil, drawings, skills, and dial up some demons. But be careful, even these spirits are more silly than scary. They are still demons. Now, the word sigil, S-I-G-I-L, what it is they're signs or symbols that are considered to have magical power. Now, you might think this book is very innocent, but actually, it says it right there. Even these spirits are more silly than scary. They're still demons. See, you can open the doors to demonic forces. That's why it's important for us to be equipped and trained in these areas. I don't know if you know this, but Harry Potter, all their books, if you speak to witches and former witches that are believers today, they'll tell you the truth, that what is written and all the way they talk about spells and perform them are really witchcraft. See, the enemy is so overt today, they're not afraid to be out there and to blatantly say what they believe in, because the enemy's time is very, very short. Here's another one. I don't know if you're aware of, but there is a satanic temple that just been recently approved for IRS tax exempt status, a 501c3, where religious organizations are taxed exempt. This is the only now federal recognized international religious satanic organization that has been approved. So it is classified as a church or a convention or association of churches. And so now you could actually get tax exempt if you want to donate. I mean, it's just blatant. And now they're launching an after school Satan clubs in elementary schools, just like in reaction to Christian after-school programs like the Good News Club. So we see our children is being bombarded by this. Is this something that we really need to have revelation of and knowledge of? Absolutely. You know, our Lord came to destroy the works of the enemy. And he did. He made a public display of them. That's right. He made a spectacle, disarmed Satan, okay, and of his utter failure, his loss, and our Lord's triumphant procession. And that was the work of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord dealt with Satan. He was recognized as the Son of Man because he was very much God, very much man, but he laid the privileges of his divinity, and he entrusted his life by the source of his Father to live on earth. He lived by the Father's life, and he overcame Satan. He was nailed to the cross. He dealt with sin, the shame, the guilt, the power of sin, the curse of sin. And he buried it, because Christ was crucified, buried, and up came from the grave, because Satan and all the forces of evil could not hold Jesus in the grave. Christ resurrected. Death could not hold resurrection life, and he ascended, and the Father sat him at his right hand. We have our Lord and Savior at the right hand of the Father, seated at the highest of high, far above all principalities, rulers, dominions, and thrones. Satan is at our Lord's footstool. The Lord won the battle, and Satan had nothing on him. So with that said, the Lord wants to awaken us and make us aware where the real battle is. And he's raising up a warrior bride. And is that a calling that you believe the Lord's calling you to? Because this real estate, this earth, the Lord wants his kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven. And now, because of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection, and enthronedship, this earth has illegal squatters. And that is Satan and the forces of evil, and he wants to evict them. But he's looking for a people. He doesn't need us, but he chooses us, and he allows us to have that privilege to be called, and through the power of the Holy Spirit in the powerful name of Jesus, to evict these illegal squatters. So with that said, I'll be covering in the next several weeks these seven principles, and I'm just going to run right through them fairly quickly. And the first one is called spiritual warfare principle number one, exercise your authority. Number two, spiritual warfare principle number two, look down, it's a matter of position. See, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places in Ephesians 2:6. So the enemy is also at our footstool. Spiritual warfare principle number three, who are you? That is really, really important because it comes down to identity. Acts 19:15, the seven sons of Sceva tried to cast the demon in the name of Jesus, and the demon-possessed man said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know of, but who are you?" And the end result was the seven sons of Sceva, they were beat up, they ran out of his house naked and bruised. So you don't want to be in that situation. And then spiritual warfare principle number four, show me the power. And that's really important because Paul did not come in eloquence of speech or persuasive words of wisdom. That's 1 Corinthians 2:1-4. And we hear that all these great talks and sermons, but people are looking for the real power. But said Paul came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And with this, we're going to have a lot of testimonies, real-life testimonies, in each of these principles. Spiritual warfare principle number five, childlike faith. And number six, spiritual warfare principle number six, love is the greatest, the motive is love. And last of all, spiritual warfare principle number seven, we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory because the victory has already been.
We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. The good news is that we can put on the whole armor of God to resist evil and to stand. Are you standing firm? This spiritual warfare training on the invisible realm from discipleship duplication will help you clearly understand the unseen realm and the battle you face so you can fight from a position of victory. Troy Albano has a deep awakening to the spiritual realm and learned the authority that we have over demonic forces. He shares personal testimonies, and he equips you to be awakened, aware, and to overcome in the battle. Visit discipleshipduplication.com to learn about his seven spiritual principles of warfare so that you may stand firm. Tune in next week at this time to be further strengthened. DiscipleshipDuplication.com. Christ is victor.